3 days from now, Tuesday, August 12th, there is a total solar eclipse, and NASA is preparing one of its more elaborate scientific deployments for it. The agency is positioning high-altitude research jets and atmospheric balloons along the path of totality to study the solar corona, the sun's outer atmosphere, which is only visible during totality when the moon completely blocks the solar disk. The corona research is particularly valuable right now because solar activity is near the peak of solar cycle 25, and understanding coronal behavior during active solar periods has direct implications for satellite operations and power grid protection.
Wednesday, the eclipse path moves over Western Europe, crossing Greenland, Iceland, and Spain, and there's a scientific opportunity there too, though the grid operators are less excited about it than the astronomers. Europe's power grid is simultaneously facing a heat wave that has forced nuclear and coal plant shutdowns across multiple countries. And then on Wednesday, the eclipse will cut up to 9.7 gigawatts of solar generation during totality. 9.7 gigawatts is roughly equivalent to 10 large nuclear reactors disappearing from the grid simultaneously for about 2 to 3 minutes.
European grid operators have been planning for eclipse events since the 2015 eclipse caused measurable frequency instability. They've gotten better at managing it, coordinating reserve capacity across interconnected national grids. But doing that management while simultaneously dealing with heat-stressed nuclear plants operating at reduced capacity due to cooling water temperatures in rivers is a real stress test.
The Farmer's Almanac warning about a super El Niño reshaping U.S. winter conditions is the kind of forecast that sounds dramatic, but is actually grounded in reasonably well-understood climate dynamics. El Niño patterns reliably shift the jet stream in ways that warm winter temperatures in the northern tier of the U.S. while producing more precipitation in the south and west. A stronger than normal El Niño amplifies those effects. For agricultural planning, energy demand forecasting, and ski resorts, this forecast matters months in advance.
The bug fire and ridge fire stories are directly relevant to climate context. The bug fire near Reno exploded to 4,100 acres, forcing evacuations. The ridge fire hit 1,000 acres and shut down Interstate 5 in California. August wildfires in the Sierra Nevada and Cascades are not new, but the intensity and rapid growth rates we've seen this decade are consistent with drought-stressed vegetation and higher baseline temperatures creating faster fire spread.
The Clemson BMW Solar EV announcement is genuinely exciting engineering. The vehicle they unveiled reportedly generates surplus energy on a typical day, meaning it produces more electricity from its solar panels than it consumes in normal driving. That would represent a significant improvement over current solar vehicle technology, which can typically offset a portion of range but not generate net positive energy. The key questions are cost, scalability, and how the performance holds up in non-ideal solar conditions like the Pacific Northwest or winter months.
The turtle thermosensation study is one of those pure science findings that seems esoteric until you think about its implications. Researchers identified a cellular antenna, a specific molecular receptor, that allows sea turtle embryos to detect the temperature-dependent signals that determine their sex. This is fundamental developmental biology with conservation implications, because as ocean sediment temperatures rise with climate change, the sex ratios of sea turtle populations are being disrupted. Understanding the molecular mechanism is the first step toward assessing whether turtle populations can adapt fast enough.
And the ancient genome study tracing the migration routes of modern Japanese people is a reminder of how much our understanding of human prehistory has been rewritten by ancient DNA research over the past decade. The analysis apparently refines the existing three population model for Japanese genetic origins: Jomon hunter-gatherers, Yayoi rice farmers from the continent, and a later Northeast Asian influx. The proportion of each ancestry in modern Japanese genomes varies by region and profession in ways that map onto ancient geographic and social patterns.